is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Well, the family of the cinematographer killed on the set of that Alec Baldwin movie expected to respond to the decision to drop the case. Last-minute travelers jamming LAX on Christmas Eve, but we start with a big traffic problem in the valley this morning. Let's get right now over to our Susie Jessup.
You know, this Sigler happened, Larry and Elsa, around 5:30 this morning, where a big rig actually hit the center divider, turned over. This is for the westbound side of the 101 at Havenhurst, flipped over, and the trailer detached from the cab. So that's what happened, and it's all lanes have been completely shut down on the westbound side of the 101 at Havenhurst. The eastbound lanes, the left lane affected as well, because we did have a tipster call and say that that big rig was actually perched on the center divider. I just got off the phone with Officer Kendricks in traffic management for CHP, and he said they're saying that maybe they're going to open up a couple lanes in the next 10 to 15 minutes, but so far they haven't. Right now, traffic's being diverted off at Havenhurst, but this has created a huge ripple effect, especially on surface streets in Encino and as you're making your way into Tarzana and Sherman Oaks, guys.
Yeah, no, just saw some video of a truck there trying to, or a tow truck, trying to upright that overturned big rig there. So hopefully they will get that thing out of the way shortly. We'll have to wait and see. Susie, thanks.
Meantime, travelers are making a mad dash for the airport this morning, hoping their flights are on time and getting home for the holidays, for the big dinner, and making that on time, too. John Baird is live at LAX, which, of course, is also hopping on this Christmas Eve.
Yes, it is. It is really picking up. You know, if you get here early, that's when you have the best chance. If you have an early flight out, that you would likely avoid a cancellation or delay. So it's always good to get here early. But so far, the terminals look pretty good. The lines haven't been too long in most cases. The security lines I've seen look pretty good. But still, some people really would prefer not to be traveling over the holidays. And how do you like traveling on Christmas Eve or over the holidays?
Oh, I hate it.
Do you?
Yeah, but this isn't so bad. There's like no traffic.
Now, that was earlier this morning, but even with this traffic jam here on the upper level, I just talked to a woman who jumped out of a car in front of Terminal 4. She said it wasn't bad at all. She fell asleep.
I've had it way worse than this. This was actually not bad at all. I'm pleasantly surprised.
And that's good news for travelers because, you know, as the day wears on, it always gets busier here at LAX. But the lines have not been too bad. And so far, so good. So hopefully it will remain that way for a while. But again, get here as early as you can. Larry.
All right, John, thanks. Well, an action by American Airlines and the FAA could have come at one of the worst times on this travel day. Estimated, they had a ground stop, but all flights now back in the air. Estimated 3.2 million passengers expected at LAX over the holidays. And while the number is slightly higher than last year's count, still not a pre-pandemic level. LAX officials say they expect nearly 80 million passengers to go through the airport by the end of this year. And hitting that mark would be about 3 million more than last year's count for the same time. While holiday travel at the airport hasn't surpassed pre-pandemic numbers, overall travel in Southern California has. AAA says during the holidays, it's up almost 7% compared to 2019. And nationally, the company projects that overall domestic travel will exceed previous records set in 2019, almost 120 million of us moving around by car, air, and other forms of travel such as bus and train.
Last month, voters approved Measure A. It doubled a pre-existing countrywide homelessness sales tax from a quarter cent to a half cent. Los Angeles Councilmember Bob Blumenfeld says most of that money goes to the county, which he says has the responsibility for providing drug addiction and mental health treatment. Critics have said the county isn't doing its fair share, though.
I mean, you look at the sales tax, you want to know how much, you know, the city doesn't get very much of that sales tax. That sales tax goes to the county for services. The city doesn't actually have money for services. This is part of the more fundamental problem that we have, which is that the city is supposed to pay for sort of the brick and mortar and building of these facilities, and the county is supposed to pay, according to the welfare code and according to the charter, the county is supposed to pay for the critically needed services of mental health and drug addiction that so many people are in desperate need of.
Measure A is projected to raise as much as $1 billion a year for housing and treating the homeless.
There's word today that a man accused of killing his former boss in the Inland Empire has now taken his own life after being tracked down and arrested in Pennsylvania. Paul Warren and his ex-boss both worked at the VA Loma Linda healthcare system, with investigators saying a work dispute led Warren to stab Joshua Watson to death December 19th at the victim's home in San Bernardino County. He was later found and taken into custody in Philadelphia. And the Philadelphia Inquirer says he was found dead in his jail cell there in an apparent suicide while he was awaiting extradition back to Southern California.
7:35 now. It is expected to be one of the busiest travel days of the year, and it got off to a slow start thanks to a ground stop by American Airlines due to a technical issue that could have been absolutely disastrous if it continued. Joining us live is KNX News travel editor Peter Greenberg. Peter, thank you so much for being here.
And good morning.
Okay, so I was starting to get some Southwest Airlines vibes when we heard this morning that there was a ground stop by American Airlines, but fortunately it was cleared up faster than people actually found out about it. Is there the potential, though, of something that big happening again later this afternoon with American Airlines with this glitch that happened, which we still don't know, by the way, exactly what happened?
Well, American is claiming it was a glitch from one of its vendors, and what it prevented it doing is to check in people on their flights, issue boarding passes, tag their bags. It could have been worse if it had applied to, you know, flight dispatch for pilots, which we've seen happen before. The real key with all these systems problems is not the primary system, it's the backup, and every airline should have one. The good news is they were able to get the problem solved. You're going to see delays for the rest of the day. On nonstop flights, when you're not going through American Airlines hubs like Dallas or Charlotte, it should be maybe a 2 or 3 hour delay. But for flights going through the hubs, it's going to be much longer because, remember, a plane can't take you anywhere until it arrives. And you're dealing with crews that need to be put in alignment with their flights and schedules and all the other connecting issues that go along with operating a hub. So the good news is they got it fixed relatively soon. The bad news is people are not going to get anywhere they want to get to today exactly on time.
Yeah, for sure. I also mentioned the Southwest Airlines debacle that happened a little while back. Have systems, I mean, we're flying sort of in the face of this, so to speak, right now, but have systems gotten better since that happened and less of a chance in the future of having a major stoppage that occurred like Southwest did?
Yeah. I'll give you a qualified yes to that because in the wake of all those, the airlines have basically contracted with their vendors providing the system, saying, we're not going to buy your system unless you provide a backup and a backup that we can trigger right away. And so that's pretty good news. We're going to see how well that works in the days and weeks and months ahead. But so far, since that huge debacle back in 22, and then we had that IT system meltdown last July, we haven't seen one until the one this morning, which was relatively minor.
I know you said the systems have improved and they learn lessons, the airlines, each time something like this happens. But it always makes me really nervous to think you're traveling so close to the actual holiday. You want to make it there on time, if at all possible, even though things have improved. I mean, would you suggest maybe not cutting it this close if you actually want to make it? Because it's not just the computer systems. If you're going anywhere east of us, which is everywhere in the country, then you could encounter weather, too.
Exactly. Well, you know, the good news about this particular holiday is both Christmas and New Year's fall on a Wednesday, which allowed travelers to stagger their departure times and their return times. But for those last-minute travelers, whether it's going for Christmas or for a business meeting, you may be cutting it too close. But there is some good news on the horizon. Remember, the U.S. Department of Transportation has now issued a new proposed rule that will kick in sometime in February, that if your flight is delayed for more than 3 hours on a domestic flight or more than 6 hours on an international flight, and it's due to systems under the airline's control, so not weather, and not air traffic control, but under the airline's control, you're entitled to immediate compensation. And once you kick in with severe financial consequences, it's amazing how fast airline computer systems get fixed.
All right, KNX News travel editor Peter Greenberg. Peter, thanks. Well, we apparently have too many entertainment choices, and it's costing us a lot of time. Yeah, Space Probe also making history with its flyby of the sun. That is coming up as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues. Well, the California Supreme Court has ruled hospitals in the state don't need to warn emergency room patients in advance about the fees they might be charged. The court has upheld both the trial court's and an appellate court's rejection of claims against San Jose Healthcare Systems that it violated consumer protection laws. The court heard the case in an effort to settle opposing positions as to whether patients need to be informed of how much they could be charged for ER services before they undergo any treatment. Well, officials say opting not to tighten existing legislative and regulatory requirements would have conflicted with the importance of providing emergency care to patients who need it without regard to their ability to pay. So while California law does require hospitals to publish online or on-site a listing of charges for their services, informing patients that the list is available for review and how they can get it for emergency rooms is exempt.
430,000 miles an hour. That is how fast a NASA spacecraft was traveling this morning as it flew faster and closer to the sun than any human-made object has flown before. The Parker Solar Probe came within 3.8 million miles of our star's surface and actually passed inside of its blazing hot corona. Then it finally started to zoom away, and good thing it did. I don't know how much longer it would have lasted there, but CBS News space consultant Bill Hardwood says it'll be back for a couple more close visits in the next few years.
This is the first of three planned close approaches before the mission comes to an end, all at roughly the same altitude or distance from the sun. The goal is to help scientists understand what accelerates the electrically charged particles making up the solar wind, what heats up the corona or outer atmosphere to extreme temperatures, that's a major mystery, and how the sun's effects on the space environment actually affect Earth.
The Parker Solar Probe's controllers are hoping it got through today's close encounter with the sun in good shape, but they won't know for sure for a few days because it is not scheduled to phone home again until Friday.
So why is it so hard to find something to watch? Well, despite many of us subscribing to several streaming platforms, one in five of us say it's harder to find a show now than it was a decade ago. Nearly half of people polled by User Testing, it's a digital testing platform, say they waste too much time scrolling through content libraries. I get it. The study found viewers are spending nearly 5 days a year trying to pick a program. And when asked what a dream streaming platform might look like, well, people say they want premium channels and access to network TV and say it should cost no more than $46 a month.
Disney CEO Bob Iger is trying to keep the entertainment media company away from politics. Now, during investor meetings, Iger has said Disney's primary mission is to entertain and it should not be agenda-driven. Just this past week, Disney scrapped a storyline that involved a transgender athlete from a new Pixar animated series. Disney also owns ABC News, and it settled to pay Donald Trump millions after he sued for defamation. A lot of legal experts say Disney could have fought the case with a decent chance of winning. Jonathan Handel is an entertainment lawyer, and he explains why Disney settled.
They settled for the same reason that Bezos, that various other companies are paying $1 million to the inaugural fund, which is they do want to be on good terms with Trump. So $16 million, $15 to a charity that doesn't yet exist, and $1 million to pay Trump's legal fees.
He says Disney didn't just back away from politics, but it also is bending a knee.
Former President Bill Clinton said to be in good spirits after being hospitalized.
A spokesperson says the former president had a fever and is now undergoing some testing at Georgetown University Medical Center. He is said to be in good spirits. The former president does have a history of heart issues, having had a quadruple bypass after leaving office. The spokesperson said Clinton deeply appreciates the excellent care he is receiving.
That was CBS's Chanel Call reporting.
This Christmas Eve, if you're going to be out and about, the fog will lift, and we are going to be looking at a cold front pushing through. We're just getting the tail end of the system, so just some light showers expected, maybe for a couple of hours later on this afternoon. So keep that in mind as you're out and about. But everyone will see much cooler temperatures as we see highs stay in the low to mid-60s and winds really kicking up, especially later on this evening. I'm KCAL meteorologist Marina Jurica for KNX News 97.1 FM.
We are here encountering the vampire. Nosferatu.
Nosferatu.
Very ominous. While many will be heading to friends and family's homes tomorrow to celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah, millions will head to theaters to see several new movies dropping on Wednesday. Joining us live to talk about the Christmas Day box office is ComScore's Paul Dagarabedian. Thanks so much for being here with us, Paul. So where are things right now compared to last year in terms of total box office money brought in?
Getting the time machine, go backward to June. The box office year to date before Inside Out 2 opened was down 27.5%. We've had a huge recovery at the box office. We're now at $8.3 billion. We're down about 4.4% now. So we've dropped over 20 percentage points off that deficit. We've made huge gains. The industry, certainly with that record-breaking Thanksgiving 5 days of $425 million, led by Moana 2 and Wicked and Gladiator 2. And then this past weekend, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Mufasa the Lion King and Nosferatu opening officially on Christmas Day. There's so much going on at the movie theater right now. It's pretty amazing.
All right, what are the three must-sees?
Well, for me, I mean, on Christmas Day, I mean, you've got Nosferatu at the top of the list. I mean, nothing says Christmas like a great horror movie. And, of course, A Complete Unknown, the Timothée Chalamet, Bob Dylan biopic that looks amazing. I actually have my tickets. I'm going on Thursday to see that. And then Baby Girl with Nicole Kidman. So there's some really cool indie movies out there. And The Brutalist is out there right now. That's a movie that's really making a lot of waves, or, you know, having a lot of interest in that film. And Nickel Boys is another film. So there's a lot of indie movies out there. But if you want to see Sonic the Hedgehog or Mufasa the Lion King or Wicked, Gladiator 2, I mean, the list goes on and on. It's such a great time to be a moviegoer. Movies big and small from all genres represented. And the box office is booming right now, just in this home stretch of the box office year. Better late than never.
All right, ComScore's Paul Dagarabedian. Paul, thanks.